As the oil and gas industry looks to the future, planning for petrochemical plants to use the abundant supply of natural gas in the region, others are looking around and wondering how all of that natural gas development is affecting their health. A number of studies have linked fracking and the pipelines and compressor stations that come with the well pads to health problems for people living nearby. Since 2011, the Southwest Pennsylvania Environmental Health Project has been a resource for residents.
There are a number of people who we believe are probably too sick or just kind of frozen by anxiety to come to us maybe and receive our resources.
They perform health screenings, collect data, and try to help people protect themselves and their families from industry pollution. For our series, Hazardous to Your Health, looking at pollution in Pittsburgh and nearby communities, I spoke with the Environmental Health Project's director, Rainer Ripple. We met at their offices in Washington County, which has the most active wells of any county in Pennsylvania. Ripple says the office is just 2 miles from one of them.
What kinds of stories do you hear anecdotally?
There's a lot of air emissions that happen on a regular basis, honestly. So we hear a lot about people saying, I'm getting a really intense exposure. These often seem to happen in off hours, so there's not a lot of regulatory action that can necessarily take place if something like that happens in the middle of the night. And with these acute exposures, they get these short-term symptoms.
Symptoms like?
Nasal irritation, respiratory problems, headaches, nausea, dizziness, shortness of breath, asthma, exacerbation. I mean, one of the things you have to understand about this issue, of course, is that a lot of people had certain respiratory conditions to begin with, because there is a long history, of course, of coal mining exposures in this area, bad air pollution that's coming from these various infrastructures that we already had in place. That said, a lot of the people that we talk to say, if I had these symptoms, they were never this bad before. The other thing I would just add to that is that across the board, stress, anxiety, sleep disruption, those kind of things are ubiquitous with this industry. One of our top concerns is the aldehydes as well as really the particle pollution. So you're talking about a lot of diesel-type particles, a lot of particle pollution that actually we think could serve as a carrier for some of the toxic chemicals that might be associated with the actual fracking type operations. These particles getting into people's bloodstreams raises a lot of concerns for us. Formaldehyde is easily the most commonly understood aldehyde, but aldehydes is a class of chemicals, and these are the type of things we think might be causing the nose irritation, the eye irritation, so where it's affecting people's sensitive membranes.
So what kinds of data are you collecting and publishing or putting out to the public?
We've been working from a very citizen science perspective to get data in the hands of community members and impacted residents. So what we're trying to do now is pair that type of health assessment and air monitoring, and in some cases water monitoring data, with really a de-identified look, so it's HIPAA compliant, it's private health information. Of course, we can't put that out for the public, but we're trying to match up our health data in as confidential a fashion as possible with some of our air monitoring data and figure out ways to really get these pictures of the community-wide impacts online and put that in front of policymakers, educate also healthcare providers to say, listen, this is what your healthcare population and your patients are really being exposed to. We've collected over 600 data sets on air. We've got close to 400 health assessments to date. How do those two line up, and what do the community impacts look like?
And is there something that you can share with me today about what you've found?
Yes. One of the things that we're now concerned about is the higher production levels seem to be causing more health impacts, and that seems intuitive. But if you, for instance, looked at an area where, say, you had 10 well pads, and those were within a 1 mile radius of your home, you looked at another household that only had 2 well pads, it's not necessarily the number of well pads. it may be the production levels of the amount of gas coming off those two well pads. So if the two well pads are producing more gas than the 10 well pads, then it appears the household may have more symptoms associated with the two well pads. But this is preliminary data, and we're still working to understand it.
I know you're advocating for a national fracking health risk registry. What is that, and how could that help?
Well, at the very least, we think that people should be counted. How many people are there? Do we know? We don't, really. And I think for policymakers to understand the level of impacts, we would need people to stand up and be counted. Beyond that, researchers need access to people who've been exposed, and we don't want them to disappear into the healthcare system without having the ability to go back and say, I once upon a time was in this area where the fracking happened. We could then, years down the line, with the assurance that this list is kept up, be in touch with them about the research, about the possible longer-term health effects. But if that population is never captured, it's reminiscent of asbestos and mesothelioma because, you know, you're going to have health impacts down the line. And people are going to need to understand where those health impacts came from. It's not an answer. It's not going to stop those health impacts from happening, but it puts more powerful tools in the hands of the affected individuals to say they can at least understand where they're at.
With what you've seen and the work that you're doing now, what's the action you'd most like to see taken in terms of health and unconventional gas development?
You know, quite honestly, I don't think we should be going full force without knowing what we're exposing people to. You know, we are right now conducting a vast public health experiment without the knowledge we need to know that it's safe. And when we started trying to parse the numbers out and say how close is too close, and especially related to vulnerable populations like children, the elderly, well, they're everywhere, right? So, and fracking seems to be everywhere too in certain communities. So there is no magic number. There is no safe distance that says, if you do this setback, we seem to be achieving a safe scenario for all. And so I think that at the very least, it could be time to really take a time out and say, hang on, let's understand this before we continue forward in this path. If there's not going to be a pause button, if we're not going to halt the level of activity, then at the very least, you need to have a robust public health infrastructure. You need to have a robust regulatory agency climate. We have the opposite. We have a Department of Environmental Protection that's had their budget slashed dramatically. We have a Department of Health that is facing consolidation of local public health departments. We don't have the resources we need from a state regulatory agency perspective to protect our health. And so the question then comes, are we able to do this safely? I think the answer is no.
Raina Ripple is director of the Southwest Pennsylvania Environmental Health Project. I spoke with her at their offices in Washington County for our series, Hazardous to Your Health, looking at pollution in Pittsburgh's communities. All of the stories in the series are at alleghenyfront.org. This is The Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.